Welcome to the Blind Shots Podcast. I'm your host, David Hill, coming to you from the 13th tee of Eagle Ridge at Yatesville Lake State Park, wondering how in the world I'm going to get my ball from way up here to the fairway 100 or 2 feet below me. And this is Season 5, Episode 10. The Kentucky State Park System is celebrating its 100th birthday in 2024. Embedded within the nearly four dozen parks are the 13th Kentucky State Park golf courses, which I'm going to profile here from time to time in a new series of episodes dedicated to state park golf. It's an important component of the public golf ecosystem here in Kentucky, and I hope to pair a critical eye with my golfing passion to examine these courses and the system as a whole. To kick off this new endeavor, I was honored to sit down recently with the commissioner of the Kentucky State Park System, Mr. Russ Meyer. Commissioner Meyer is in his fifth year as the head of the park system under Governor Beshear's administration. Long before he got into politics, first serving as the vice mayor and then mayor of Nicholasville, Kentucky, followed by three terms in the Kentucky House of Representatives before assuming his current role, he was the owner and operator of Connemara Golf Course in Jessamine County, Kentucky. That's where I got to know Russ. So to say the least, the commissioner knows golf. And for the first time that I can remember, it feels like golf has a true advocate leader in the state park system. So I thoroughly enjoyed digging into how the courses are operated and maintained and was excited to learn from the commissioner about some of the improvements in the works. And look, I'm a fan of these golf courses called Homerism or Home State Pride, but I've genuinely enjoyed playing most of these golf courses and look forward to rounding out the checklist of the rest of the portfolio that escapes me. It's a diverse set of courses, as we discuss in this conversation, ranging from simple Perry Maxwell Parkland gyms to big, bold golf boom championship-style courses from architects like Dr. Michael Herdson and the late Arthur Hills. Most importantly, they're all the people's golf courses, which is why I particularly care about all of this in the first place. Before we dive in, a reminder that the Blind Shots podcast is made possible without commercial interruption or the use of taxpayer funding by my day job as David Hill Realtor with Rector Hayden Realtors. I help people sell their houses and find new homes, as well as helping investors and businesses with their commercial property needs here in Central Kentucky. The spring sell-in season is upon us. I'm continuing to see an uptick in activity on the residential side here locally. So if you have a need or you have some real estate questions, please reach out. You can email me at davidhill@rhr.com or call me at 859-333-4517, and I'll be happy to get a conversation started with you. And with that, let's dive right into my conversation with the commissioner of the Kentucky State Parks, my friend, Mr. Russ Meyer. We're not born a commissioner of the Kentucky State Park System. You actually had a career in golf before getting into government. Tell me a little bit about what that experience was and how that's sort of helped informed the last 5 years at the...
Well, what a great experience it was. And I got to see a lot of what has happened really over the last 30 years in the golf business and industry. Not only in Central Kentucky here, but our state and nationwide, because, you know, you've got a heartbeat on all of that when you're in the business and you're trying to make it work day to day, week to week, and you know, year to year, surviving in the golf business.
And that was a public facing course.
Public golf course in Nicholasville, Connemara, and obviously 18 holes on 160 acres. And, you know, as I tell people, it's an 8-day-a-week job when you operate a golf course. So
it's funny, if you're in charge, that means, yeah, you're the manager, but you're also part of the accountant, the chief marketing officer. You got to make sure the turf guys are giving you a good product out there.
Hot dog cooker.
Oh, yeah, hot dog cooker. Janitor.
Janitor. You do it all.
Having done a few small businesses, I understand.
And everyone that works there is the same. Right. So, yeah.
And you were in during a time of, I guess you got to see 13 years. That's enough to get a little bit of the boom and bust cycle.
Absolutely. Right there in the middle of it. Started in 91. Mm-hmm. and sold it in 2003. So I got to see the golf boom and how it transpired afterwards.
Right.
So.
People forget, if you're familiar here in Central Kentucky, there was a golf course right across the street from you, the short course, and that you got to see the boom and the bust of that all.
The boom and the bust, and that's happened. The correction has happened, and I'm sure we'll get into this later in the conversation, but golf is back, and it's steady. The correction's been made. The bug is back, but it's a steady correction that I feel, from what I know from what has happened historically in the golf business, and discussions of what I see in our 13 state park golf courses, and talking to owners and operators across the country, it's solid and steady and here to stay.
Okay. I do want to get into that, and we can chat about that later, whether the COVID boom and whether that's a long tail, sort of who's come back. But you mentioned all of the state parks. If you would, give me a little bit of an overview for people that aren't familiar. I like to think of the state parks in a timeline. You've got a couple of old Perry Maxwell courses that are quite old. You've got several resort courses that I would suspect probably date to the 60s, maybe Barron River and those. You've got the golf boom courses, and you've got some what I call the quasi or no longer state park courses. So talk to me a little bit about kind of what the portfolio looks like today.
Yeah, let's get into that. That's a fun discussion.
It is.
But you can take your, as you say, your Perry Maxwell courses, that's Kentucky Dam Village and Lincoln Homestead, which I've not played Kentucky Dam. I believe you and I discussed before we turned this on, we're going to go down to West Kentucky and play some of those gems down there. Land Between the Lakes is just a phenomenal area. The people down there are great. You kind of get sucked in when you go down there. You want to stay a whole lot longer than you have time for.
I'll make the reservation at Patty's.
There you go. Hey, and that is a special a special place to eat. Lincoln Homestead, right close here to Central Kentucky. I mean, it's an hour's drive, and it's. Yeah, obviously a Perry Maxwell course, but it's that old school course that was built, in the 60s that just, it reminds you of the old Lone Oak course in Nicholasville or the Juniper Hills in Frankfort or some of those old, I call them push-up clay greens. If you've been around golf for a while, the old push-up clay greens and I think they took off and from he must have studied Pete Dye a little bit.
I think it's not
Pete Dye, Donald Ross. I'm sorry.
Yes,
he must have studied a little bit of Donald Ross.
Love that course. Love those greens. They're phenomenal.
Yeah, and we've got some gems across the state, and like you said, I mean, it covers the gamut and the evolution of golf in the last 100 years. We've got the golf boom courses.
Those are phenomenal too. People that they don't know what to expect. I think when they go to Dale Hollow, they don't know. It's like, well, this is out in the middle of kind of nowhere. It's lake country. You get to that course, and that is one of the most fun and most challenging golf courses in the state.
100%. And I've played that one more than any of them. But it is like you go to a golf course, you step up on the first tee, and you play the first hole, and it is an enjoyable experience all the way through hole 18. And, I don't care if you shoot 100 or more than 100 or you shoot par or under par, it is an enjoyable experience just driving around. I mean, the wildlife you see, the beauty of the golf course alone, and the views, you step up on, it's a par five, I'm going to call it hole 14, maybe 13 or 14.
Yeah.
And you can see well into Tennessee.
Yeah.
I mean, the view you can just see for forever and ever and ever. And I want to talk a little bit about a course that I haven't played too.
Okay.
that I think is one of our most treasured golf courses. It's an Arthur Hills course called Yatesville Lake State Park. It's at Yatesville Lake State
Park. You can see West Virginia from this course.
West
I played
Virginia
that one, Commissioner.
But it's an Arthur Hills golf course design that is absolutely phenomenal. It's in Lawrence County, Louisa, Kentucky, meaning drive to Ashland on 64 and go 30 minutes east and you show up there. It's out there, but let me tell you, it is absolutely worth the drive, and I cannot wait to go play that golf course. I have not. Hey, I've been busy being Commissioner Parks, man. I haven't been able to play a lot of golf.
Yeah, no,
these
realtor hours.
Done, I'm excited about to see the opportunities with the improvements that we're getting ready to put into our golf courses at a course like Yatesville that is one of those boomer courses. And on the way we have Grayson Lake, which, you know, I'm sure a lot of people know about Grayson Lake. When it was first built, it was touted as having a 600-plus yard par 5, really cool golf course, and we're really excited about that one too. But you were asking a question. So
no, I love those. I've played those two. I love those two. You know, the you talk about spectacular views over there in Louisa. You know, those first few holes where you're really, they take you up a mountain and then you kind of play across valleys and back. It's some of the best kind of in-course scenery.
Mm-hmm.
But it's tough. Bring a few extra golf balls.
Yeah, from what I hear, and what I saw when I've driven the course, mm-hmm. Shopmaker's golf course, you know.
It is.
So you've got to, you're not going to overpower it. You might look like you can, but.
Yeah, you look at the scorecard and you're going to deceive yourself. It's not going to look like much from the numbers, but it's mm-hmm. A lot of elevation change. And the one at formerly Hidden Cove, the one there in Olive Hill, is one of my absolute favorites.
Mm-hmm. Grayson Lake.
Grayson Lake. Just
yes.
a fun routing. Watch out for the crows after you get your you get your snacks at the 10th hole. Little local knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
The crows will see where you put them. So watch out for your cart.
But you know, while we're talking about, you know, those two golf courses, and we want, you know, I want to talk about all of them because there's gyms, you know, mm-hmm. obviously. Across the state in the state park system, I'm a promoter of golf myself. You know, action creates action, and golf courses anywhere will help golf courses everywhere. So, there is a saturation point, but as you said, as we talked earlier, the correction's been made, but we're on the cusp of making some major improvements to our golf courses and what I call a reinvestment in our state parks and our golf courses at our state parks. And I'm really...
Well, go ahead and flesh that out a little bit, because that's something I wanted to talk about. And are those, I'll frame it this way, the within the parks system, mm-hmm. the golf courses, you know, you're talking about improvements, I assume capital improvements, things like... what are you talking about as far as improvements?
Yeah, capital improvements and
does that look like irrigation and drainage or
infrastructure and the touchy feely things? But you know, first I want to take this opportunity to thank Governor Andy Beshear and the administration for getting behind parks and our General Assembly. They've really locked arms and put together, a plan to reinvest in our state parks and a commitment, first and foremost. So, Governor Beshear in his budget had $184 million in improvements for Kentucky State Parks.
That's a tremendous number.
It's a big number, but, we haven't reinvested in, say, 30, 40 years. It's a big deal, and it's noticed out there, and these guys are taking a big chunk out of it, and we appreciate it. I know as a Kentuckian living here in the Commonwealth, we all take pride in our state parks. We're number one in many areas in our state parks across the nation, and we're proud of that. And we're going to keep that going. We're going to keep that going, and it's really, really cool to be a part of it and be a part of the team, Team Kentucky, and we're going to have some fun with it. But we're going to put new irrigation systems in four of our courses: my old Kentucky home, Barren River State Park, Lake Barkley State Park, and Kentucky Dam Village. And I'll tell you a little bit about that. Kentucky Dam, older golf course, very nice golf course, and very enjoyable to play. And as you said, a Perry Maxwell, old school golf course. If you know anything about golf course maintenance, and I don't want to get too far in the weeds, but we have to go out, and or our maintenance team there at Kentucky Dam has to go out and use quick couplers and hand water. You know, it's a quick coupler. They stick in the ground and turn a sprinkler on each sprinkler head throughout that golf course. So you're going back into the 50s and 60s of how it's maintained, and we're getting ready to take it into the next generation and put irrigation systems in at those golf courses where we can actually not fight back fires but fight some front fires and take care of them. But the team down there does a remarkable job on that golf course, keeps it in phenomenal shape. But this is going to allow them to be more efficient and do other things to help that golf course. So
the amount of man hours, I've worked maintenance, I've drug hose. I'm trying to figure out if the quick coupler system, if that's a step up or a step below dragging hoses behind the cart and hot spot water.
It's the same thing. I mean, it's basically the same thing, but you have to do that. As you know, in maintenance, you have to drag the hoses. You have to use the quick couplers that are by the green and water the hot spots at the green. You've done it. I've done it.
It's so tough. That's such a big, that will just eat your labor budget.
It's a part of it. But if you're doing it at every single sprinkler head plus that, I mean, that's a labor intensive high cost that, Kentucky Dam, it's going to be about a $1.3 million project to put the irrigation system in. But it's going to, the ROI on there is going to be there. I mean, it's five-year ROI, something like that. But, I mean, it's going to be we're going to get a return on our investment because we're going to save in labor hours. So
that kind of thing, and I'm just going to get nerdy for people that might care, but everybody might turn it off. For the governor's budget, for something like this, for these capital improvements, is this general revenue, or is this a bonded issue that they're going to float?
Issues, okay. Yes. But $8.5 million going into the golf courses.
Okay.
So
we'll take every penny.
Yeah, every penny. $5 million going into irrigation systems. We are transferring two of our golf courses. We're in the lower end of the state, closer to the Tennessee line. Barren River and Kentucky Dam, we're going to transfer those to Bermuda Greens, which we already have done that at the Cullen, which is at Mineral Mound State Park. It's gone over very well. And being in the golf business, when I came into Kentucky State Parks and we were discussing this, I just wasn't completely sold on it myself. After seeing how the greens have done at the Cullen Mineral Mound, I'm sold on it. It's great greens, and it's gonna be just fine, and it's gonna help those golf courses there.
Help
our budgets at those golf courses.
Bermuda does. It's not when you came into the business in the early 90s. Mm-hmm. You could get away with bent grass, tee to green. It wasn't the weather climate change, whatever you want to call it. the amount of water you've got to put on a place like Kearney Hill that has bent grass tee to green to keep it alive, that's a budget hole that doesn't get filled. It's not sustainable. The Bermuda is so much better.
We went through the transition in the late 90s of everybody wanting to jump on Bermuda fairways here in central Kentucky. And was that the right thing? I don't know. Zoysia probably was the way to go. As we've move forward, we've agronomy has elevated, and we've gotten better with our grasses and advanced. There's now fescues that are just phenomenal for fairways out there. Obviously not for greens. You want to stick with your bent or your Bermuda, or what they call, as you get more southern, your post pollen or past pollen greens. But now we're getting really down in the weeds, but it's been kind of cool to be a part of that. But this Bermuda transition we're going to do at those two courses is going to make a difference. Not only playability in those areas, it's going to be less labor intensive from a drag, as we talked earlier, dragging hoses and spot watering greens. It's going to show up in our budgets and our ROI at these golf courses. So,
and from an economic sustainability, and the industry's going that way. Granted, we're talking about courses that are situated near a lot of lakes, and Kentucky doesn't have the water issues that maybe more western states have. But availability of water, smart use of resources, these are all things that long term are just going to be phenomenal for the golf industry.
I
don't know if you've got the numbers on this. You mentioned earlier, it's great on capital improvements.
But I want to mention on capital improvements. Before we move forward, if we may, a big part of that is we have implemented, before I got there as commissioner, they had implemented in our agronomy and our golf crew at in state parks are top notch now. I'm telling you, I've been around the industry since early 90s, and the ladies and gentlemen that work in our golf courses, the pro shops and from the agronomy end of it are top notch, and we're extremely proud of our team there. But we have been putting in billy bunkers, is what they call them. It's a really neat bunkering system that has a longevity to it. Obviously, the bunkers that were put in the golf boom golf courses and before were not as engineered as well, let's just say. And these are five-star, top-notch longevity bunkering systems that are going to really beautify. So the General Assembly and the Governor, Andy Beshear, have given us the monies to finish every bunker that we have to finish in state parks. So when you go to a Dale Hollow, or you go to a Yatesville, or you go to, a Grayson Lake, where, the sand traps just are the biggest eyesore on the golf course. And it's just, it's kind of, it's a downer for us that worked so hard to get them in shape, but we didn't have enough money to get the traps in shape. And obviously, we don't want to be in the traps, but we do want them looking pretty, and that's a big factor. And so, from an aesthetic standpoint and a maintenance standpoint, that's going to be a big big thing that we're going to see as golfers going to play these golf courses. It's going to make them a lot more fun. It's been our biggest complaint over the last 5 years. The bunkers are in bad shape. So it's exciting that we're going to have that opportunity to correct that and put a product out there that we're all very proud of and able to promote.
Well, that's tremendous. And, you know, bunkers can be, yes, we don't want to be in them, but they are a visual cue for a lot of the golfers. You know, one of my previous episodes, I had a guy on talked about Old Silo, which I don't know if you ever got to play over there. Big splash bunkers, and they were beautiful.
They promoted that golf course. Graham Marsh promoted it as having, 80 or 90 bunkers in it, you know?
That's 80 or 90 little maintenance nightmares dotted all around that course. The Billy Bunker system, for people who aren't familiar, that means that they will drain, that they will not be little lakes every time we get a gully washer.
Exactly.
Which is going to save your maintenance people and be able to put their efforts elsewhere. That's really, again, you're talking about smart
labor expense, better playability, visual. Everything is a big positive there.
You know, it's been a long. You mentioned it's been a long time since the parks have gotten the parks at large have probably gotten the attention they deserve. Is there a master plan for improvements, or is it all budget allocation dependent as far as with the golf? You can speak to the parks generally. You know, I've stayed in almost all the lodges. I mean, I grew up in state parks. I was so proud. I lit up when you said that they were being invested in.
Yes.
But these, talk to me a little bit, I guess, about the triage of how the improvements and courses, because we do, as I mentioned, we've got courses that are almost 100 years, you know, from the 40s and 50s to some that are, you know, were finished probably close to the turn of the last century.
Yes, sir.
Can you talk to me a little bit about that process and how that works?
You're wanting to go to how we're taking care of the old courses and the
decide who, like, which courses are invested in. Is there a master plan with regard to, you know, a schedule? You know,
our master plan is 100% determined on budget and investment opportunities. We get parks as a whole gets $10 million for a year for reinvestment into state parks as a whole. 44 state parks across the state.
Right. Someone with lodges.
16, you know, resorts.
Right.
So that gets that dissipates very
quickly. Some back of the napkin math. Yeah. That disappears pretty quickly.
That disappears quickly. And golf courses are the last to get that.
Yeah.
So, you know, they don't get that a lot of times. So, you know, after we get this done, we feel like, you know, there's cart paths that need to be repaired or completely redone. You know, we're getting down to things that, you know, you got to look at any time that you're reinvesting. We have to look at building from the ground up. Where are we in infrastructure, which is irrigation? So that's first and foremost. Then, you know, we can go to the grasses and the aesthetic type things, which we're taking care of. The Bermuda greens at Barron River and Kentucky Dam. And then your sand traps. But the next thing would be to address, there's some cart path issues at some of our older courses like Kentucky Dam Village that really needs to be addressed.
Okay.
You know, from there, you know, we're in pretty good shape. I mean, we've got, you know, obviously buildings out there and there's some few things that we could add. I mean, you've got to continually rotate your golf carts at your golf courses. So, you know, there is a master plan, but it is all budget dependent. But this is going to heal up a lot in our golf course. You take $8.5 million and put it into golf courses, that's going to go a long, long way and really and truly set us up for success for the future. And that's what we want to do.
Oh, fantastic. Switch gears a little bit. You know, we've talked about capital improvements and we're giving the turf guys a lot of press. How are the pro shops set up? You know, in within the golf business, there are different models. Does the pro own the shop? Does a pro get a part of the cart revenue? Just are they all state employees? Or tell me a little bit about how that's, because golf courses are special. They're different.
The pros, everyone that works at the golf course, we're all team members of Team Kentucky. We're all employees and We work for Kentucky State Parks.
Okay.
The pro shops, the merchandise, the food, everything that comes out of it is Kentucky State Parks.
Okay.
So, you know, the old school model of, you know, hire the pro, bring the pro in, the pro really and truly in the old days, that's how they made their money. They gave lessons, they owned the merchandise and the food operation, and, you know, the facility didn't pay them anything.
Right.
They made their money off the ventures they created within the golf course itself. And, you know, some of them owned golf carts.
Right.
So, you know.
They didn't want you walking. They wanted you to take
the
cart.
The facility itself just got the greens fees, but that's not the case anymore. And the industry as a whole has moved from that, moved away from that. So I don't know. I mean, I'm sure they're still out there. That operate that way, but not to the extent of what it was historically.
Okay. That was just a curiosity of mine.
Absolutely, yes. Great question.
If you've got a ballpark, you're at the top of the parks pyramid. Within the parks personnel budget, what's peak employment look like? You know, in the summer when you've got guys having to actively mow and water and cart staff,
yeah,
how many people are involved in the golf
course? You know, that's a good question because legislatively, that has been brought up and has been addressed somewhat, but the General Assembly, they were... You know, their first stab at it was to take away a big portion of non-field positions, which non-field positions in parks is the meat of what you have to make it work. You know, you have your year-round employees. It's about 600 employees there. But, you know, you add your summer staff in, and that number can almost double. So... they've restored 72% of that, but we really in parks, it's a different deal altogether. We need 100% availability of all positions because really and truly, I mean, you look at our campgrounds, our golf courses, outdoor rec in itself is continuing to go up.
Adventure tourism, the whole initiative
since COVID, it opened it up. Those were the opportunities then everyone wanted to do, but it also educated people. Yeah, this is cool. This is what we want to do. And, you know, with our extra time. So the stability of those is rock solid right now.
Okay.
Yeah, you know,
Natural Bridge State Park is my kids' favorite place in the world.
It's a great place.
I want them staffed. I want that place clean.
You know, every park you go to, look, you at Natural Bridge, you're not going to find a lake there, but you've got the trails, the lodge itself, the everything that you can do at the state parks with a family is just a unique, special place. In all parts of Kentucky and in just unique areas of Kentucky. So that's what's cool about state parks. But, you know, and then you add the golf in there and you're checking a lot of boxes here, yeah. You know. So and speaking of checking boxes, our golf courses, our state parks are unbelievable tools in this state. You know, to tourism, economic development, quality of life. They check all the boxes, and our golf courses play a huge role in that. And, you know, our golf courses put the heads in beds, too, at our state parks.
You have done my segue job for me. I really appreciate that, mm-hmm. Commissioner. I was curious, one, are you able to track who your customers are with any sophistication, meaning are, you know, some of these golf courses, you look at the map, and we've got maps of the state park golf system in front of us, you know, in some of these areas, these may be the only or the primary golf course for locals, but it's also going to be, as you're mentioning, you know, it's going to be a draw to get people, the lake may draw them or the golf course may draw them, and you've got a sort of a symbiotic relationship there. Do you guys have, are you able to ballpark or track sort of who your customers are with respect to local versus out of area or Kentucky residents versus tourists?
You know, I can tell you one thing that we do, and we talked about West Kentucky and Land Between the Lakes and those golf courses down there. You know, the Cullen Mineral Mound, Kentucky Dam, Lake Barkley. We go to a golf show in St. Louis every year to promote those three golf courses and packages at those parks. And since we've been going, you know, obviously rounds have gone up since COVID and the golf course industry has gone up, but those two golf courses, Kentucky Dam and the Cullen, they're 20 to 30 minutes apart, and we package them. And the rounds of golf at those golf courses have gone up significantly, you know,
with the out-of-state promotion drawn in.
From promoting them in that market area.
To be fair, it may be easier to get to from St. Louis than it is from Lexington or Cincinnati.
Exactly. But what a fun drive through your state.
Yeah.
To get there to Land Between the Lakes, and what a great area to be in, beautiful, you know. And while we're on this, I don't want to get off that subject, but I want to talk a little bit about Mineral Mound. What a tough golf course. I have not played it. We're gonna play it.
Lakeside. It's up against the lake there.
That's at Mineral Mound State Park.
Mm-hmm.
Unbelievable golf holes that go right around Lake Barkley, and the views of Lake Barkley while you're playing golf are, you know, second to none. I mean, you get them over on the coast playing golf courses out on the ocean or, you know, wherever. But I'm just saying this golf course is special. It's tough. It's challenging. It's a lot of fun. It's one of those shop maker golf courses. We were able to the governor. Named this golf course after Cullen Brown. If you follow golf and know golf in Kentucky, Cullen was a All-American golfer in high school, won the state golf tournament, and then went on to play at the University of Kentucky and played his freshman year. And he had some awful news of getting a cancer that just was not curable, and Cullen passed away, and we named this golf course after Cullen. This is where he played, and it's just a really special golf course in my heart, and everyone in Western Kentucky. So just a tribute to him and what he stood for, and so I just wanted to mention that there.
And I'm glad
a lot
you
of
did.
People don't know that.
No, and he was at the University of Kentucky, and the team and the whole community really rallied around him. He knew what he was facing, and he never took the smile off his face.
When the
state was able to rename that to honor him, I thought that was couldn't be more perfect. You know, it's a wonderful tribute. And like you said, it is a super high quality golf course. That's Michael Herdson Design, mm-hmm. who of around Kentucky, you would know him perhaps for Gibson Bay down in Richmond, but Wasioto wins the course mm-hmm. down under, is it? Yeah, Pine Mountain.
Pine Mountain.
I want to say Black Mountain. I knew that wasn't right. Pine Mountain State Park. So, yes, and growing up wetting a fishing line on Lake Barkley, yeah, the wind is going to cut across that. So, his spirit, you're going to have to hit some shots down there.
Oh,
but
yeah.
I'm glad you mentioned that.
Now, Cullen's sister is playing for the University of Kentucky and doing very well.
Yes.
So
the women's golf team here. I've got a whole episode I've got to find on that because mm-hmm. that's quite a story.
Absolutely.
Have you guys, as far as judging success within the state park golf system, have you guys, since you've been in office, have you been able to have any kind of formal economic impact study? Is that something, or how do you benchmark success within, I guess, within parks or within the state government at large?
You know, look, I've been in obviously I was in golf course business for myself, public golf, and that is different. It's a different equation. Our golf courses here are not placed location, location, location. You know, they're placed in areas of the state where there was a need to check boxes for, you know, just take Yatesville Lake, you know, for instance, in Lawrence County. That area, Ashland, Eastern Kentucky area, needed a championship golf course to check that box for economic development. And to say, hey, there's a Arthur Hills golf course. Arthur Hills is the designer of Champions right here in Nicholasville, you know, central Kentucky, where the Barbasols played. Phenomenal designer, and this is a phenomenal golf course. So that's a prime example. That golf course does not do the rounds that the other ones do, but it checks a big box for tourism, economic development, and quality of life in eastern Kentucky. And that's what that does. So the meaning, the plan that was put in place before these golf courses were built was not, okay, we're going in here to, you know, make this amount of money,
right,
you know, in a business venture. This is a supporting cast of what Kentucky does and how we draw in industry and tourism and, you know, what is tourism? It's a 12.5 billion dollar industry, $12.9 billion industry in the state of Kentucky, and it is real. I mean, it is real as it gets. And our golf courses in Kentucky State Parks play a huge part in that equation.
Okay. Yeah. Say you don't have to defend.
And they also, you know, check the box of putting heads in beds at our resorts.
Right.
So, you know.
As someone with an economics degree that used to work down there, because I was just trying to throw them some business, you know, throw the Gatton College because they need more money, right?
Right.
You mentioned kind of the marketing and the, you know, you do look at the map, and with the exception of maybe the course at Bardstown,
which is our most played.
Is it?
Most rounds.
My old Kentucky home.
My old Kentucky home. Generates 25,000 rounds a year.
That's the course that has all the things we're talking about all at once. There's an old part of that golf course. There's a brand new part of that golf course. You can see a distillery from it, so the tourists are going to be coming there. But it's also right in town, so you've got locals that I'm sure they're probably men's leagues and things.
And they're getting ready to have the Bourbon Open, which I haven't said on the in our discussion podcast here that we're celebrating 100 years of Kentucky State Parks this year, 2024. What a great year to be a part of it, to be right here talking about it. And at my old Kentucky home, they're getting ready to have the Bourbon Open, and Kentucky State Parks is a partner with that organization to put this golf tournament on. It's going to be a big deal. And that golf course, I did not know it. It was a country club where the clubhouse is not on the park there at my old Kentucky home.
Right.
The clubhouse. It was a 9-hole golf course, and then State Parks took it, added 9. And, it's an old school golf course. It's a fun old school golf course to play. And obviously, I mean, people like it. It gets more rounds than any other golf course out there by probably 25%.
No kidding.
It gets 25. The next one's right around 20.
Okay.
Burnside, Dale Hollow, they're doing around 20. There's a course that's a dandy right on the lake is General Burnside, and some of the best greens you'll putt in Kentucky State Park golf courses.
All my friends that are boat people, they all love going down there and playing that course.
It is a phenomenal golf course, and it was redone during the golf boom, as you call it. So, we can go one after another and talk about them. But, yeah, my old Kentucky home is doing very well. We're proud of it, and we're looking at reinvesting. They're getting a big portion of the reinvestment with a new irrigation system. They've got a failing irrigation system down there that is costing us a lot of money and labor and, detriment to the golf course as far as browning out and all that and disease control. So and it's getting sand traps. So,
well, you know me, I'm in the real estate business. Money is not the root of all evil in that business. Water is, and right. The golf courses are exactly the same. You got to make sure it's where you want it and where, not where you don't want it.
Gotta have.
As far as marketing, you've talked about, you know, sort of the impact on these communities that these golf courses have. You know, from just my amateur perspective, the Robert Trent Jones Golf Trail, Alabama Golf Trail, mm-hmm. seems like that kind of changed the conversation for state golf tourism. You know, that it's been well marketed for 20 years. You know, it's got buy-in. I don't know how autonomous it is. It's the pension, for people that aren't familiar, the Alabama State Pension System, about almost 30 years ago now, I guess.
Owns that.
Yeah, they owns. They decided that would be an investment, and it would kind of cross-pollinate because it would encourage tourism from out of state, create assets in remote parts of the state. I feel like there was a time, maybe the golf boom courses, where that was the model everybody was trying to copy. To be entrepreneurial and get people in, and then the Great Recession happened and people said, well, we don't like those golf courses anymore. Just within parks and within the state, talk to me a little bit more about just what the identity of the golf courses are, because we've got
Are you comparing our model to our model?
So we'll just explain a little more what Kentucky's model is, and you've got these resorts that some of them have golf courses, and so.
Well, here's one thing.
Okay,
we are getting ready to put $8.5 million into our golf courses. We are going to have something that we can all be proud of and promote and market and really, really, really have an opportunity to bring more tourism in and more people too. You know, this investment is going to help golf in Kentucky. Because it is going to bring, we're going to promote, we're going to bring golfers to Kentucky that are not only going to play state parks, they're going to play golf courses all over the state. They're going to come play Kearney Hills. They're going to come play, even if they can get on a private course, Valhalla or wherever they want to, Old Stone and Bowling Green. You know what I mean. But it's good for golf, what we're doing. And that's a big impact. But you know, That's a phenomenal model they have down there. Well-funded model. Their retirement system is well-funded and has done very well. Have their golf courses outperformed our golf courses? I don't know that they have from a red to black standard, but we've got a unique. If you want to call ours a golf trail, we've got a unique trail because we're not golf courses from the past 25 to 30 years. We're golf courses that, you know, like you started the conversation. You can go play Lincoln Homestead. You can go play my old Kentucky home. You can go play Kentucky Dam Village. And they're your older style courses that I have a blast playing. Love playing those old school push-up clay green golf courses, man. I mean, they're a lot of fun. Grip it and rip it, you know, style golf. But, you know, that we're not trying to be a Robert Trent Jones.
No, and that's not me trying to – I'm not trying to pick on Kentucky. Mm-hmm, you know, it spawned a lot of copycats.
Right.
You know, Tennessee did the same thing with the bear. You know, there's right. Jack Nicklaus trail. Indiana has their own – they tried to do a Pete Dye trail. You know, it spawned a lot of copycats. Yeah. And I feel like – from the outside, I don't. Kentucky's not stuck in that model, so right. I was just kind of curious.
And we're not. Look, Kentucky State Parks is number one in a lot of areas of state parks, and we're just going to do our thing, promote our golf courses, and you got to be you. If you're not trying to be you, you're making mistakes. We're gonna be Kentucky State Parks, and we're gonna promote our golf courses and you can call it what you want, a golf trail, whatever you want, but we're gonna have a great product out there. You give us a year and we're gonna have a phenomenal product out there that we can all be proud of and gonna have a lot of fun, and we're gonna promote tourism in Kentucky. We're going to promote economic development in Kentucky, and we're going to promote great things for these communities that, you know, our parks are in and our golf courses at our state parks are in. We're a big economic driver for those communities, for the restaurants, for just the local businesses, local hotels.
Yep.
We're a big driver there, and that's what we're going to do. You know, that's our business model, and I know that's what the Robert Trent Jones model does, the same thing. And
it's just all brand new, and the clubhouses look exactly the same. And those courses, I don't know if you've played down there. I have. They beat you up. Those are not resort golf courses. I'm sorry.
No, they're tough golf courses.
You mentioned, but one thing. This I'll get in the weeds a little bit on this one. The golf course industry has finally had its reckoning, I think, with the Golf Now model of, you know, mm-hmm. their model was, yeah, we'll set up your website for you, but we're going to take some of your prime tee times and fight your greens fee integrity. The state, I guess either last year or this year, has that relationship has ended.
Mm-hmm.
Go back to your kind of the back in time model. If you want to play there, you just call the course and see what's available. And the websites are really functional for each of the individual courses. Are there any plans to reintroduce sort of that online system, or is Kentucky happy with kind of?
It is, but going retro for a little while is not going to hurt.
Okay, not at all.
It's going to get us, down to what you call ground zero. We'll be able to pick what works for us,
okay,
and what benefits Kentucky. What benefits our golf courses and the people that come play Kentucky State Park golf courses. But hey, that's the way we operated back in the 90s and the early 2000s, is with the tee sheet, and it works. It works, and it's probably, it's really a little more personable.
It is.
You know, when you can pick the phone up and call a pro shop and talk to whoever's working, the golf pro or whoever's working there in the pro shop, you're going to get better service than something online or, a recording somewhere. So that's, we're trying to get back to that, too.
Okay.
I mean, it's a people business. We have to take care of our people, look them in the eye, shake their hand, make sure they had a great time. And, we're going to build on that. And we're going to grow our business, through customer service.
I'm thrilled about it, because I think that's probably in the state's interest long term. I was always skeptical of the Golf Now model. That was just... and now they've gotten to the point, for those that don't know, they don't just want to do the tee times. They want to do your whole point of sale system, your whole cash register.
Right.
It's a little bigger. They hold you hostage, and I don't like anybody held hostage.
Right. So they're running your business for you, and maybe they're running off customers for you too. I don't know.
Maybe they're in your interest. Maybe they're not.
Right. So let's get back to what we were doing, do it well, and move forward in the best interest of our customers, the people that come, and state parks.
I'm going to get you out of here on this one, Commissioner. We're going to live in the hypothetical world. You've got one wish, okay? You see the end of your tenure coming. You're going to retire down to wherever you're going, someplace sandy and warm with little drinks. If you've got looking out over your horizon, maybe for the next year, what's your one big wish?
Playing Augusta National Golf Course. Throw
that's an easy one.
Not happening.
Well, changing times. No, for the parks, for the Kentucky Golf, for these parks, these wonderful assets of Kentucky. If you had one wish for them, if you had a magic wand and a budget appropriation, what are you doing to the Kentucky State Golf
Course? We have checked a big box that I've had. Anybody that has been with State Parks has. By, the $8.5 million reinvestment that, it passes through the Senate and, passes this session. We're able to implement that $8.5 million. That's a big box check. But as I said, there's other things that we need to do, and it's – infrastructure things like the cart pass, like, the next golf course that needs. What we want to do is set our golf courses up for success for the future. So the next person that comes in as a golf pro or commissioner of state parks or whatever position they have in state parks, they're able to promote and make our golf courses better and make our state parks better. But, it's a reinvestment thing, and we have to continue to do that in the future. Backing off the Golf Now thing, making it a more personable experience, the irrigation investment, the bunker investment, the greens investment. Hopefully we can get some cart paths done and improve the experience for our visitors at Kentucky State Parks. So, it's not any one certain thing. It's a continual drive to the end and looking back and saying, I did the best that I could do. We did the best that we could do as a group, as a team. And we can all be proud of it together and give a high five and move on.
Hey, thanks for stopping by for this episode of the Blind Shots Podcast. My conversation with Commissioner Meyer could have gone on for another hour or two, as each answer he provided provoked two new questions in my mind. But the bottom line is that for the first time in a while, the Kentucky State Park golf courses are being invested in, and invested in a way that should improve both the golfer experience and each course's operational profitability. And that's big news. For example, to the point, funding the bunker renovations has been a project that's been in the works for at least a decade, it feels like, maybe more. Anyone who's played Dale Hollow or Grayson Lake State Park golf courses in the last 5 or 10 years know that it's been a battle to see those bunker renovations through to completion. And you've probably also noticed big changes to the turf in the state park golf courses, as several courses, especially in the eastern half of the state, have saw grass strains in the fairways that were better adapted to our transition zone climate reality. I can't thank Commissioner Meyer enough for making the time for this episode. Frankly, it got me motivated to get out to revisit some of my old state park haunts and to see the ones that are still on my to-do list. So I hope you'll enjoy this new series looking at some of our state park golf courses. And most importantly, I hope you enjoyed what you heard here today. If you didn't enjoy this episode, I'm sorry, but what do you want from me? I only know how to make the episodes that I want to make. There it is. That's the plain truth. And please, as always, sit up straight, drink lots of water, and when you have the choice, do decide to go for it and take dead aim.
I will wait till the end of our discussion, and okay. Then we'll have a meeting.
Okay.
Pins and needles over here.
Yeah, that's kind of was like, we just got the we need to talk text. So do with that what you will, McHaney.
Uh-oh.